Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast.
That's bad. All right, what do you prescribe, Joe?
Well, I got a fever, and there's only one cure. That's some Doctor Strange goodness. Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast, everybody. Today, I'm here with my good buddy, Mark. Hey, Mark.
How you doing? If you can't see it, I'm trying to open a portal with the sling ring.
The sling ring. So Mark and I are here to talk some Marvel. I'm Joe. I'm your normal host here, your casual comics guy. Glad to be with you. And we're like, I'm still on a rush from, I saw Doctor Strange 2 twice this weekend. Twice.
Whoa. Good for you. I need to watch it again. I've only seen it once.
So we're here today to just chat all things Doctor Strange. Warning, I don't know when spoilers are going to pop up, but they will pop up at some point. So I just assume with the box office draw that everybody's kind of seen it who's going to see it. And right. maybe more than once, like me. I mean, but we're going to talk Doctor Strange. We'll talk a little bit about the story. We'll talk about the characters. Just everything Marvel. I got my Marvel jacket on today.
Ooh.
I don't know. Can you see
well
that?
Well done. Ooh, I like it.
When I went to this showing of Doctor Strange, you'll be a good judge of this. I went Thursday afternoon, like at 3 o'clock, and I went in. I was wearing this little, what I've got on now, my little fleece here, black and red with the Marvel logo on it. And there were a bunch of people with like Marvel shirts on, like Marvel sweatshirt, Marvel zip, Marvel whatever. I'm like, are we at a point where like wearing something Marvel is like wearing something that says NFL? It's like, shouldn't you just have the team stuff? Or is it allowed? I don't have to have like a Spider-Man or a Doctor Strange. The Marvel is allowed in this context.
I think it is, but it's like, I do think the sports rules apply, meaning when you go to like a Nebraska Cornhuskers game, you can't wear an Oklahoma jersey. So for this, you can't wear DC gear to a Marvel movie. Like that is a faux pas in my mind.
That is true. No Batman allowed.
No Batman. I don't get mad about it, but I just give them the stink eye. Like, you know what you're doing, and I don't like it, and you shouldn't either.
It's wrong. You're wrong. A bad person, and you should feel bad about yourself.
You should. That's right.
No crossovers allowed. Not even, no matter how many multiverses, there's not a portal to the DC universe. There better not be.
That's right. That's right.
So, I mean, I'm just ready to jump right in on this. What I knew coming into this movie is we all know where we are in the Marvel Universe. You're right in the thick of it. It is the sequel to Doctor Strange nominally, but like Doctor Strange is carrying this whole phase of the MCU so far. It feels like Benedict Cumberbatch is like got the weight of all these franchises on his shoulders. We're coming off Spider-Man Far From Home, all the multiverse stuff that was happening on Disney Plus. And when this movie was announced, it was announced that it was going to be a horror type movie from director Sam Raimi, who, at least from my youth, is Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, just some classic horror stuff. So I had certain expectations walking into the film. Did you have similar expectations of this being a PG-13 horror movie?
I did, although even going up into it, I still didn't believe it. I'm like, they're saying it and they're trying to, for them, for these big franchises, take what are fairly big chances. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I still wasn't buying it. And then another point I wanted to make for those people that are listening, I really thought it was helpful before the movie came out. I think Marvel tweeted out the 4 shows/movies you should watch leading up to this. Did you see that?
I did not
that was
see
super
that.
Helpful.
What did they list on there?
They said WandaVision.
Right.
Doctor Strange, the first one. It's like, all right. Okay. What If?
Right. Got
and
it.
And then Spider-Man No Way Home.
Okay. So did they include links to the podcast where we said the same thing?
That's right. But I thought that was really helpful because I think I was watching a TikTok video over the weekend and it was a confused look on somebody's face and they're like, the year is 2055 and here are the 86 Marvel movies you have to watch leading up to the movie. And I'm like, yeah, you can't do that. So I thought, you know, if you just watch those 4 movies/show, but it also helped me set the expectations for myself because I was wondering, is there a Loki tie-in? Like,
right.
How are they going to incorporate Moon Knight? Are they going to do that at all? And so it really simplified my expectations in a good way. But yeah, Joe, I was expecting I wrote down horror film vibes.
Right.
And I was also expecting, and we got, I wrote down colorful, visually stunning fight scenes.
Yeah.
Like that's what it's all about. If you watch or read Doctor Strange comics, like the pages splashed with crazy visuals. And I'm just like, they got to keep doing that, right? Like that's what Doctor Strange, the first movie, was about. And it's like a top 10 Marvel movie, Doctor Strange 1.
Yeah.
So anyway, I agree. Those were my expectations walking into the movie, was horror film vibes and visually stunning fight scenes.
I'm with you. It's kind of funny because Jeff asked me, he hadn't seen it yet, and I saw it, and I didn't want to spoil anything. He's like, what'd you think? I was like, it surprised me by being exactly what I thought it would be. It's the same thing. Right. Like, I was a huge fan of Evil Dead and Army of Darkness and that visual style, and just how dark and crazy Sam Raimi can get with horror stuff. And I was like, there's no way Marvel's going to chicken out on this. They're not going to have the guts to kind of do it. And yes, they did. And I have to applaud them for it, of letting the guy go nuts. Now, I will say a lot of reviews I've been reading are like a generation that's a generation closer to, you know, teenagers than to my demographic, which is a little skews a little older than the teens. And they're not used to it. And they didn't like, some of them were like, I don't like it. It's too cheesy. It's too splashy. It's too whatever. I'm like, that's exactly what I expected when they said, right, Sam Raimi was coming back. You know, I don't know if they know him, or if they know him maybe just from the Spider-Man movies, but those had some really cool camera angles and some very inventive camera movement. I like the way that he uses the camera almost as a character sometimes. And you get that in here when the camera is like representing the point of view of Wanda or the Scarlet Witch as she's trying to break between universes, and the camera becomes like her eyes and ears, and you're seeing,
right,
what she's seeing through her point of view. So I think he does a really cool job of that. But overall, I was really glad they just let him go nuts with
it. Yeah, the tone of the film, the story of the film, if you knew that going in, and I talked to somebody at work today who wasn't sure if he liked it or not.
Yeah.
And so he did not know about Sam Raimi. He had no background because he's not a nerd like me and researches this stuff and just likes following it. And so when I told him that's what the director does, he's like, okay, I've made up my mind. I like the movie, because he just didn't know what to. He's like, he expected like you said, a normal Marvel movie, and that's why he was on the fence. When I told him this is what they allowed him to make, he's like, yeah. He goes, I like the movie. I guess I didn't even know what to expect. So he had expectations that were different than the tone that Sam Raimi was going to set. And he liked the movie. He just was kind of confused almost by that.
Right.
And it really didn't, you know, the marketing, you know, maybe we talk about this later, but again, I was disappointed on how much they revealed in the trailers, and they really didn't hint at all that it was going to be a horror film or a horror film vibe at all. And I think they were afraid in the trailers to do that, but like this friend at work, he was confused by the outcome because he's like, I didn't get that even in the trailers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They did do a nice head fake, I think, in the trailers on, you know, everybody kind of knew that this was going to be, I mean, they talked about from the beginning that it's going to be the Scarlet Witch's story as much as it was Doctor Strange's. And coming off WandaVision, they sort of did the nice little nod over here, like she might not be the antagonist of the story, which she turns out to be, which is, I thought pretty amazing, and lines up well with her arc in the comics. Like, we talked about House of M and how her obsession with her kids, like, you know, she's one of the most powerful beings in the universe. And if you separate her from her kids, look out, get out of the way. Yep. Which I thought was really clever and cool. What I did like that Marvel does now, before a lot of these big releases, is if you watch on Disney Plus, they have Marvel Legends. And if you go back, have you ever watched Marvel Legends?
I have not.
It's on Disney Plus, and a lot of times before the big release, and it's almost like when you used to watch Lost, and it's like, previously on, and it just, they take clips from the old TV, from anything that came before, like movies, it's all the movies and TV series that the character has been in before, and shows you in like 5 to 8 minutes their story leading up to this.
Oh, yeah, okay, I didn't know it was called that, but yes, I do know you're talking about. I did watch them, not the latest one, but I like those, like 3 to 9 minute clips.
Right, so if you haven't seen Doctor Strange and you're going to, that's a good way, and watch the Scarlet Witch one, because it didn't occur to me until I watched that, and I was glad I did. You know, I knew the story pretty well before going in, but I was glad I watched it because it really highlights that although it's been years since like Avengers Infinity War, right? She killed Vision. Vision got brought back to life, killed again in front of her. They go through Endgame. She goes to Westview, goes through all of the stuff in WandaVision, where then she loses her husband again and now loses her kids. For her, that's like a week and a half. And that's a pretty crappy week and a half.
So, right. Not to mention they resurrect her dead husband's husk.
Right.
To go in and attack her husband that she created.
So
like that's pretty messed up.
So when she takes a villain turn, it's like she's pretty, I mean, I know how WandaVision left off with hopefulness, but she's still pretty raw and got a lot of saltiness about her, because it does end WandaVision with her with the most powerful book of dark magic in the entire Marvel universe and her kids calling out, "Find us, help us," right?
Right, right.
And so look out, MCU, because here comes the Scarlet Witch.
That's so true. And I was really curious to ask you that because you are the resident Vision Scarlet Witch fan.
Right.
So I was going to ask you, that's why I asked you before I went and saw it, like, what did you think? And you said you really liked it. And I'm like, good. That told me that her story arc was going to be good in the movie.
Yeah.
Because of your experience with her. And I'm with you. I really liked what they did with her. Even if she never came back, I'd be satisfied. Because if you look at the whole arc of what she did at the end, I really liked it. Like, she ended up still doing the right thing. I mean, she did a lot of bad things we'll talk about, but she ended up, she still had good in her and she still wanted to end up doing the right thing. And she didn't want any of her other versions to turn into her either. Like, that was the whole point of destroying the Darkhold in every single multiverse.
Right. And I mean, you know, we can get into the character arc because she does. I mean, her character arc to me is the most compelling in this. And it's almost like if you think of like the stages of grief, you know, WandaVision was all about her being distraught, denial, bringing Vision back and just creating a life for herself. So denial. And then in this movie, she's moving from denial into anger and she's just mad. And she just happens to have the power to do something about it.
Right. Right.
So it's kind of cool. It's kind of crazy. But I mean, you know, the movie jumps for you right in to that amazing sequence of Doctor Strange running through the cosmos. I thought it's kind of funny the way they try and make
man bun Doctor Strange.
Right. It was a good point. I listened to somebody talking about, you know, somebody else talking about Doctor Strange leading up to the movie. They're like, how are they going to differentiate the bad Doctor Strange? Because he's already got a goatee. You know, that's the go-to. Put a goatee on the guy. But there's a lot of different hair in it. It's like man bun Doctor Strange in the white highlights for a little bit higher up on top of his head instead of on the sides.
It's red with auburn highlights. Yeah, it was jumping right into it. It was really good. And the you know, we talked about the Wanda story arc. The Strange story arc was embedded in there. I mean, Wanda definitely steals the show in the movie. And it's fun for that. But the Strange story arc, I mean, there's subtones. I loved how they kept asking, like, are you happy? Like, do you really think you did the right thing?
Right.
And I was going to ask you that, Joe. Do you know in the Christine marriage scene in the beginning, who was that guy that, like, called him out for that? Do you know who? I didn't even look online. Do you know who that person was?
Was he like one of the side characters in the first Doctor Strange? I don't
recognize him at all. So I got to look that up for later.
It sure seemed like we were supposed to know who he was.
Right. And he's like, do you really think you did the right thing? And I was just racking my brain and I do not remember him at all. We'll have to look it up later. But the whole point of, you know, are you really happy? And if you watch the Strange What If episode,
right,
it's his love for Christine is his downfall. Honestly, because he knows being the Sorcerer Supreme, even though he's not in this movie, it's Wong, which is hilarious.
But it's customary to bow.
It was so good. There's some good laugh out loud moments. But the life he chose as a protector of the universe and of Earth, you got to sacrifice some things. It's like a weird Jedi thing, right? It's like you gotta just absolve yourself of those things for the greater good. But some versions of him didn't do that. And then there were extreme versions of him, like Man Bun Strange is, I'm going to do anything and I'm going to steal America Chavez's power at the end.
Right.
Right. And then you have the, which we'll talk about later, the Earth 883, the Illuminati,
eight,
like
838, whatever. Yeah.
83. He, that Strange did everything to defeat, like he took it the extra step. Right. He crossed the line. And those versions obviously didn't turn out so well. So you're kind of getting a hint like this is the best, Earth 616 is the best version of Doctor Strange. So I like that subtone story arc that they played in here.
Yeah. You get to see more of the evolution of Doctor Strange, I think, by seeing all of his alternates.
Yes. Yes.
Where you got to see all of his branch, and you saw all the way he could turn out. And he was actually able to learn, I think, a little bit from that.
Yes.
Like, I think he was surprised himself a little bit. And I mean, they nod to that of like when she's like, you were going to kill me and you said it was the only way. And in his mind, he gets accused at the one point. And it's almost, is it right there? The beginning, the guy's like, well, you know, who were you to get to decide? Everybody's second guessing him letting Thanos wipe out half of the world for 5 years. And even though everybody came back, people were gone for 5 whole years. And they show how traumatic that is for both people who stayed and for people who left. And ultimately they lay it on Doctor Strange's shoulders, making that choice of giving Thanos the time stone. And they're like, is this the only way? And he's like, yes, this was the only way. And in this movie, he now is confronted with another version of himself who is convinced the only way to prevent the Scarlet Witch, who they didn't know at the time, whoever's chasing America Chavez to try and steal her powers, was to just kill her. And now he's like confronted with, but is that the only way? Is there not maybe another way that could go down?
A lot of self-doubt. You could see it in the movie where, because people are like projecting onto him the doubt that I'm sure he's internalizing. So that's kind of how Sam Raimi did it. But it's interesting is when they were going through those other versions, especially the Illuminati Thanos version, I was like, when he talked about those 16 million versions and they said, how many do we win? And he said, one. It's like, how many versions did they actually could have won, but it wasn't really the best or right way in his mind? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I could have gotten the Darkhold and defeated Thanos, but that didn't work out well for me, did it? So I'm not going to do that. So right. It's just interesting with the benefit of hindsight of he probably did pick the best outcome.
Right.
And it was like, he went through all these versions and it was like, define what winning is, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting because I had not thought about that before, which is he says, I examined all these possible and there's only one where we win. Well, what does win mean? Because still half of the universe got wiped out and then came back 5 years later, which was devastating for some people. Is there another version where they still quote unquote won, but it was a different consequence that he himself decided that's too bad? I'm picking the least bad consequence in my mind because there's another version where the snap doesn't happen or gets undone, but I see further out into the future and I think that's more problematic than doing it this way.
Right, right. Yep.
Interesting.
So I liked his story arc, and I liked Wanda's story arc.
I did too. He winds up, I think, fundamentally learning a lot about himself from encountering himself in other ways, and Wanda does too. I mean, she has that turn because she does encounter herself in a different way, and that's why I was intentionally using Scarlet Witch, because the movie makes an interesting distinction between Wanda and the Scarlet Witch. Which there's Wanda Maximoff, and they're like, this is now you're dealing with the Scarlet Witch, which is different because in WandaVision they hint at that, which is the Scarlet Witch is destined to do all these things, but not necessarily Wanda Maximoff.
Right, right. That's so true. And I think it, like you said, he grows in the movie because of those other variants that he sees. And when it comes down to it, he wasn't going to kill America Chavez.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't, I'm not going to do it. And maybe at the beginning of the movie, he might have, like, that was the kind of the weird, I don't even know if foreshadowing is the right word. Like, at the very beginning, that's what one variant was going to do.
Right.
And then at the end, it's like he was faced with the same choice. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do everything else I can to not have that happen.
Including things he shouldn't do. But let's take a quick break because I think this is a good spot to get a breather. And then maybe talk about when we come back, sort of like run through race through the plot of this movie, which runs at a breakneck speed, and then talk about some of those moments and then how this advances sort of the plot of the Marvel Universe and the MCU from where we start to where we end the movie. So take a quick break. We'll be right back.
By the hoary hosts of Hoggoth, you're listening to the Casual Comics Cast.
All right.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the just, you know, the story actually moves at a brisk pace, right? It's like a 2-hour and 6-minute Marvel movie, which, like, I don't know when the last, maybe Ant-Man, was that bing, bang, bong, in and out, yeah. 2 hours, you get in and out of a Marvel movie.
That's, oh, by like, the way, Joe, I was going to say to interrupt, but this is related to what you were saying. That I didn't look at my, like, that went by fast.
Yeah.
Like, I remember looking at the running time before I going into the movie, and I'm like, cool, like, this is going to be great. And I was like, what, we're done?
I know.
Like, it just, like you said, it was a very fast pace. I mean, you get right into it with the chase scene at the beginning with this variant, and then it slows down just a teeny bit, but then they introduce America Chavez and that fight scene. Great fight scene, by the way. But yeah, it just, and it doesn't stop.
The fight scene was awesome. And one thing that I don't know, we'll talk about our favorite movie moments later, but that, not the first battle. So, okay, so the movie starts, America Chavez and Doctor Strange racing through. She can open portals to other dimensions or to other parts of the multiverse. She can open doors between the multiverses and travel between them. And someone's trying to steal her powers. And there's a giant demon after them. And Doctor Strange tries to kill her, maybe to stop the thing from taking, or he's going to take her power so the bad person doesn't, because she can't control it and he's going to control it. Goes all bad. Book of the Vishanti. I was glad to see Book of the Vishanti finally making an appearance, which
nice cameo by the good book.
Right?
The other good book.
The other good book. The opposite of the Darkhold.
The opposite of the Darkhold. Thank you.
if they touch each other, they cancel each other out.
That's right.
I guess.
Yeah.
But they're after that. Can't get to the Book of the Vishanti. That Doctor Strange dies. And then she winds up here. And then they do have that scene with Doctor Strange where they do a good job bringing back Christine's getting married. He's second guessing himself. And then straight into another battle scene, which, being a huge Dungeons and Dragons fan, I'm like, did he just cast Bigby's grasping hand?
Yes.
The two like ghost hands go pull up the lamppost. I'm like, oh, yes. Bigby's grasping hand.
I was like, that's definitely not Mage Hand.
Right? Because Mage Hand is only 5 pounds maximum.
Yep. And there's two of them.
Right.
Yeah. That was a great spell. That was so fun. I was like, ooh, he's grabbing that thing. And what's he going to do? Oh, what's he going to do with it? Ah.
I think I really liked the way that they portrayed some of his magic. Because although I have, you know, and I'm still a fan of, Marvel does a really good job of this, of making sure that everybody's powers are visually distinctive. Like the way that the sorcerers who train at Kamar-Taj, visually the way their magic works looks very different than the way the Scarlet Witch's magic work, and looks very different than the powers the Eternals have visually. Whoever's right. designing all these powers is being very conscious with the design and the colors, so it's really easy to tell the difference. It's like,
yeah, like in WandaVision, Agnes, similar in shape and substance, but purple.
Right.
And Wanda's is red, but the similar as hers because they're both witches.
Right. But
then hers is a little more unwieldy as she says, like, that's chaos magic, Wanda, that whole thing. So you're right. They do a really good job. I love the sparkies that they do with all the mages at Kamar-Taj of like, they're doing the visual things, but you can kind of, even when they cast like a protection spell, you see sparks kind of fly off like residue or something. And you're right. Visually, they do a fantastic job. That's my favorite. One of my favorite parts in the Doctor Strange movie.
Gold with a lot of geometric patterns is great. But then this is the first time we've seen some of the other things that maybe are visually, like in a different way. Maybe it's strange, like going beyond the basics of protection spells and, you know, the blade, which he casts, which is pretty cool. But the hands, the grasping hands, which you've never seen before. And then also just his ability to like use his hand motion and like chop off one of the tentacles of those things. And the way that him and Wong have progressed, I love it. I love the buddy dynamic between Wong and Strange. They've always sort of had that in the comic books, and it's gotten better over the years. But the way these two are in the movies just slays me. I love it.
Well, and Wong, I was like, it was like when you remember when Yoda fights in Attack of the Clones,
right?
And you're like Yoda fights. I'm like, Wong fights. Like it was the same time. Like, yay, he's fighting. It's so exciting to see.
He gets out the mystical sword and he's spinning around and.
Yes.
Chopping up stuff.
It was really good. I'm glad he got his moment there because he's not just a manservant.
Right. My manservant.
He's the Sorcerer Wong. Supreme, temporarily.
He is, on a technicality.
You remind me, what was the, can you know, maybe also for the listeners, why is he the Sorcerer Supreme now? I forgot.
It was the technicality. Strange was gone for 5 years. He got blipped out of existence.
Oh, so, the blip.
So Wong That's... became Sorcerer Supreme.
And he's not giving up the title.
Right. Sorry, I've been doing this for 5 years while you were gone, dude.
Giving it up. That's right. That's so funny.
Because I think actually Strange says that at one point. It's on a technicality. I wasn't right here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's so true. Great. But yeah, they get right into, and it's that head fake moment from the trailer. Strange goes to find Wanda because this mystical creature that they defeat by popping out his giant eyeball in a really gross, gory manner.
That was the first indication of this is not a normal Marvel movie when they impale a one-eyed behemoth with a lamppost and then pop it out. Like, the I don't know if your theater you were in, like, I got the visual, It was great. It was great. Like, I don't think of that Marvel movie. Have you think of any Marvel movie that had that type of gross visual?
I don't know. This one had some disturbing, like, visuals, which was, yeah, but that was the first one with the bloody eyeball popping out. And it was, you know, cartoonish.
Yeah, there's a lot of gore, but it was definitely graphic.
Yeah, I liked
it. The little nerve popping out. it was so good. Oh, man.
Yeah, and then immediately they know that there's some witchcraft involved. And so let's go talk to the only person we know who knows about witchcraft. And that's where I love the Marvel humor too. And Doctor Strange with he's still got a very like high opinion of himself and of magic users in general. It's like, I could get the guy with the mohawk and the sword and the bow and arrow, or the most powerful magic user in the
right.
And then the slip of the tongue with Wanda, she blows it and she's behind the whole thing. It was interesting because at that moment it occurred to me that because she tells Strange she's given up on all the magic and she's just clipping stuff and he's smelling the apple orchard and the flowers. Her magic is powerful enough to create an illusion that fools him to even thinking that she completely gave up magic. And then she slips up and that's what she says. She's like, the problem wasn't the hex. The problem was the lying. Yep. And she just wasn't good enough at lying and concealing her intentions. She's like, and you see they're in the middle of this red and black. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. And it shows you like she's still inexperienced. Like she's not used to being like a antagonist. Like that's tough for her. And she admits it. Like, I could never lie. Like, I'm really bad at lying, even though I can literally alter reality.
Right. She's better at lying to herself than to others.
There you go. That's right. That's so true.
I love it. And you bounce from there then to it's like, again, it's immediate. It's like, there's the reveal. And she's like, you have until sundown. I'm coming. And you can hand over the kid to me. And this can go one way or you can't. And it'll go a completely different way. Yeah. It reminded me of that Simpsons. You have 24 hours. And just to prove that I'm serious, you have 12 hours.
That's right. And then they do the camaraderie battle sequence. And all she needs to do is get through to one weak-minded person.
Right?
And she does.
I love it, too, though, that she gives him till sundown. Like, I know. I can come right now and take her. I'll give it till sundown. Like, say your goodbyes. Do whatever you got to do.
I'll be there.
And but it's like sundown here or sundown there? Because we're in different time zones.
Like, what's my where are we at? There's no sun here, Wanda. What are you talking about? And then I love how they... just the subtleties of the words of her talking about, he's like, be reasonable. And she's like, oh, I'm being reasonable. And right. Then later in the movie, he's like, yeah, she was being reasonable.
That was her being like, why didn't she just do this before? That was her being reasonable.
That's right. The whole, what is it? The sleepwalking or whatever. And
right.
Like, that's why didn't she just lead with that? And he's like, because that wouldn't have been reasonable.
Right. Because they talk about that being so dangerous. It can cause multiverses to collide and new stuff.
Yes, so the incursion.
Right. She's just being kind. So she just shows up at camaraderie and at first it was that like she's just gonna sit in the sky and blast away at the shields. But I love it because then that's when they go to the bag of, oh, she's got other kinds of, she's not just this chaos magic user's gonna blast things. She goes back to when she got in the Avengers heads. She's like, and she's looking. She's like, it's at what was the water boy? Which one of you is going to be my little bee? And it's like, there he is.
Yeah, she's like, there he is, and run. That's all it took.
I love it.
And Wong's like, strengthen your mind.
Strengthen your mind.
Think really hard now.
Like it didn't take enough concentration to cast the shield spell and keep it maintained. Now protect your mind too.
That's right. And they're like, I didn't sign up for those. Both of those things. Pick one.
Right.
Yeah, it keeps going. And then you're right. And then it's just a breakneck pace from there of, you know, him trying to, Dr. Strange trying to figure out how to counter what she's doing. He's like, I don't want to cross the line with her, basically. Like, I need to figure this out, but how do I do that?
And that's where I love it, because that's where it really becomes, you're in Sam Raimi's world now, because she's a witch and she has access to the dark arts. This is going to be a horror. That's where it starts, is he imprisons her in some kind of universe or dimension. Like, I don't think it was supposed to be the mirror universe. Maybe it was supposed to be the mirror universe, but he imprisons her. And then they're like, she's coming through the reflections. She's like snatching dudes from puddles and stuff. It's just like her arm pops out and it's all creepy.
And when she comes out of that one, you're like, if you had any doubts that this wasn't going to be a horror movie, like they all got eliminated in that scene, to your point, is how she figured out how to get the dimension was through the reflections. And then how she comes out and she's all distorted. And
like
she
kind of cracks thing from the ring.
Yeah, it was like from the movie It.
Yeah.
When Pennywise comes at you. I mean, total vibes there. It's like, okay, now you're in the thick of it at this point.
And the use of music was pretty amazing, because at some parts it gets like really, like it becomes apparent that they have gone silent on the soundtrack. There's like no music at all. And then all of a sudden just some piano.
Yes.
Like this really creepy piano tinkling. That's like, oh my gosh, something. It's like giving me chills.
I mean, there were two jump scares. What Marvel movie has jump scares, Joe? Like, they had two notable ones.
Right.
Which were awesome. It was like, I got a little like, whoa, like, here we go. This is good stuff.
Which would be great when they start tying in Blade and some of the darker Marvel universe.
Like Morbius?
Sorry. I keep trying to figure out if there's a way to make a lesbious joke. That's not Morbius. I don't need more of that.
So what do you think? How successful is this movie as a standalone?
Or
as a piece of a bigger story? What do you think?
It's hard for me to judge how successful it is as a standalone, because I think you could see the movie without saying anything else and understand what's going on, but I don't know that you'll get the why is she the bad guy. I guess maybe you would. Maybe it doesn't matter. If you've never seen anything before, she's just the bad guy in the movie.
Yeah. They're just going so fast. They explain it in the movie, but it's just really fast. Like, if you never watched WandaVision, they talk about how she did that at Westview. But to your point, they're moving so quickly through the movie, it's hard to kind of get a sense of, like, there's no flashback to Westview. He mentions it like, boom, just real quick.
Yeah.
But as a standalone, I mean, it's so hard to do it. Again, I think you're right. I think we have to wait a few more movies.
Right.
To figure out how does it tie into the bigger story. But it was really a nice story arc for Strange and Wanda. And so standalone, it's more about how did they complete some stories of that they were building up. But the bigger threat, you know, they show it at the end real quick with the incursion. It had me wondering when you asked, like, part of a bigger story. I don't know who the big baddie is. I don't know what the bigger phase four is. It Secret Wars? Is it House of M? Like, what's happening? So
right.
I'm not confused or mad. I'm just wondering. So that's why I'm saying I liked it as a standalone film. If you watch those four things that we talked about.
Yeah. Cause it doesn't necessarily like, it's not, it is a self-contained in that there's a small cliffhanger, but it has an ending. It's not like Infinity War where it's like, oh, it ends. And now it's not like a two-part movie that got split in half.
It's not a bridge movie. And it's not like a bridge movie either.
And speaking of Lost, it's not like, you know, I remember with Lost where you'd have like a whole episode where it felt like they were just moving around pieces on a chessboard. Nothing really happened except things got put into a certain position so they were ready for the next part of the story. That didn't feel like that either.
Right, right.
Because
I thought it was successful as a, if you can define standalone as you kind of sort of need to watch some previous movies, but I liked it. As a standalone, I thought it was very successful.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, because I think, you know, I wanted to talk top movie moments. I think a lot of the top movie moments are the things we haven't gotten to yet in the story, and it'll give us a good way to talk about the top moments there in the back half of the film. And I mean, that's where my favorite moments were. I don't know about you. I mean, we talked
about... I want to compare notes on the top three, see how many we got correct of the same.
Yeah, and then we can chat a little bit about then what do we think is next in the MCU. And that new character that gets introduced there at the end. So, quick moment, we'll be right back.
Oh my stars and garters, you're listening to the Casual Comics Cast.
Yes!
I'll set it right in front of here, front to back.
Perfect. Vision. Were you disappointed that White Vision wasn't in this at all? Like, it would have just messed it all up, I think. I was fine with it. Everybody's like, where's Vision? I'm like, why? That would have stuffed it with too much baloney in the movie.
Yeah, no, they didn't need that. And that was what I liked. It was economical. They were like, we got Doctor Strange. We got the Scarlet Witch. That's all we need. I don't need to bring in a million other characters. I don't need the rest of the Avengers. I don't need Vision coming back. I don't need Loki popping in. Let's keep it. Yep. Keep it two hours. Keep it tight.
It keeps it tight, and they both are good actors,
right?
Elizabeth Olsen, and so we don't need to do all this other stuff. And I do agree, Elizabeth Olsen. It was basically her movie,
yeah.
But in a way, you kind of knew it was a Strange movie. So
yeah, they carried equal weight. And so we're back, and we're talking about the second half of the Doctor Strange movie and the amazing housewarming gift Mark got me for when I'm moving back to Omaha. Mighty Mug, the Vision. I love it. He's my favorite. So I, you know, you said it there, which is that this movie just gets carried by Strange and by Wanda. It's really their story, and I do like the fact they kept it tight. But getting into the second half of the movie, all right. So should we get into our top movie moments?
Because yeah,
it didn't keep all of it economical, right?
That's right. That's so true.
And it depends on how close you call a moment versus sort of a scene. Right.
I have moment / scene. So should we do 3-1?
Yeah, go ahead.
Start with you. You go. Three. I'll go for three. I have a tie for three.
Okay.
Cheated a bit, Joe. So the Doctor Strange zombie possession.
Yes.
Was third.
The classic yes. Sam Raimi, a hand's gonna pop out of the from underground.
Yes. Yes, and him trying to control it, and then the demons coming out saying some goofy stuff. I like that scene or moment. And then another scene tied for third is, I call it the Wanda chase scene in the tunnels. When she's limping and she's coming after him, like so horror movie vibes. I loved that whole scene. So those are my two tied for third. So I cheated a bit, Joe. What's your third?
It was. So number three for me, and it's I don't know that it's down on the list. It's not the introduction of the Illuminati. It's the destruction of the Illuminati. The ease with which, from the moment that Wanda emerges from the smoke, with if it was a typical Sam Raimi horror movie, it'd be soaked in blood. It's Ultron robot oil. Apparently, yes, it's all the black oil.
Is awesome because he's like, well, I can't. You're not going to let me do all this blood and gore, but I can make it look like blood and gore.
Right.
Brilliant by him, by the way.
She's covered in that.
Okay, well, the robot oil will be covered. Yeah.
Right. The robot oil is all over. And then the ease with which she dispatches the universe's greatest, this part of the multiverse's greatest protectors who were brought together. And it's like, okay, here's, first off, when we were talking about like gross, gory stuff, it's like, here's this doofus black bolt. Don't ever say it. Don't say it. Don't be like, he can destroy you with just one word from his mouth. What mouth?
What mouth?
And then, like a dummy, he says something in his own mouth and blows up his own brain. And then his head like caves in. That was like so gross. I loved it. And then she turns Mr. Fantastic into basically a bunch of pool noodles.
Spaghetti. Did you notice how when he was completely done, there's a little red poof, like boink. She just like blipped him out.
And it was. I liked it because it was.
What
it was
he going to do anyway? He's like.
He's going to stretch on her.
What do you. Yeah.
But I like it for the the gross content, the hyperact, like I love Sam Raimi and it's the hyperactivity, and then also just the little quip of, is your wife still alive? Is your wife still? Could there be someone to look after your children? And it's like, all right, we're going. It's go time.
And I think, and I don't know if your theater did it, but there was confusion and laughter in our theater
because everybody's been waiting. And a lot of people, Illuminati.
Yeah, but there were the confused people were starting to get really mad. And the laughter people are like me. I'm like, this is the whole point of doing these cameos. They're alternates. They're variants. Like, she's there to kill him. Like, what did you expect?
Right. And it's got some of the best kills in the whole movie. I could make these. Yes. I could make a top five list just for the way she dispatches them.
Yes.
Ending with the way that she, because then she takes care of Professor X in the most extremely horrifying way, like a horror movie. But then Captain Carter and the Shield. The way that she takes care of Captain Marvel is a little, huh? But anyway, that's probably three through one for me. It's just that.
Yep.
But
that was my number two, by the way. I put Illuminati battle. And it's interesting to think about because people are like, why they're so powerful beings? And it's like, that's classic Reed Richards arrogance.
Right.
Like, Wanda, we are the most powerful beings. Black Bolt can destroy you with mere voice. Like he's like monologuing. She's like, I don't care. Like, get out of my way.
Right.
And so I think, again, classic arrogance, underestimating. And if you remember, they're calling her Wanda. So their reference point is like, it's Wanda Maximoff. She's got hex powers. It's like, you're not dealing with the Wanda. You're dealing with the Scarlet Witch.
And
so
that was my everything number two. Everything in there was amazing touches. Again, we talked about how well Marvel does with the magic. At that point, she starts like Agatha had. She's got the black fingertips too, because she's so deep into the dark magic. I love that like little touch that they brought in.
And it's like, it's like what practical people who watch superhero movies are like, why wouldn't you just do X? Like, just get to the end. It's like, that's what she did. She's like, I need to take these people out. I don't really care. I'm going to cut Captain Carter in half with her own shield. Like, this is what I'm going to do. And you're just like, oh my gosh. So it was fun.
Yeah.
It was really fun. I'm like, this is what these people are brought in for, is to be killed.
Right. Right. All right, so your number two.
That was my number two. My number two was the Illuminati battle. What was your number two?
My number two was the music battle.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, that's my number one.
Is that your number one? All right. I love it.
Keep going. Go ahead.
He's fighting against an evil version of himself, and the papers like start flying by with musical notes, and whatever enchantment he does, he's grabbing the musical notes off the page and slinging them at the other Doctor Strange. They're hitting him, causing him damage, until he casts a magical purple staff to catch the notes and shoot them back towards Strange 616. Yeah.
Like himself, wheels turn, it's myself.
Yeah.
That's what I've been looking for all my life. Myself.
Myself.
And so he does it added every.
That's cool. Hey, did something happen to your mic? It seems like it turned down. It seems like you lost about a quarter of your volume.
Is that better?
Yeah, no. I guess you're going to have to get in there real close.
Get in there real close. Okay.
All right.
The music. So that was my number one, Joe, is the music fights Strange versus Strange.
It was kind of cool, too, because like you could hear little bits of like classic horror film like soundtrack when he shot all the notes back. Like, doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo.
He's like, I don't know what it was, Joe. Just maybe it was the Fantasia vibes from Disney, but I really enjoyed that fight scene. What was your number one?
My number one is Wanda trying to break through the multiverse, and that whole scene where it's, well, Scarlet Witch trying to break through, and it's Wanda there with her kids, and you get that horror creepy. Yes. That's where you get the camera stalking her around. And then just the weirdness of like all of a sudden the peas on the plate being like magnified. And then she looks in the coffee cup and there's a whole ocean in there.
Yes. That was great.
She walks by the picture of herself and the picture like turns to look at her. It's like, oh yeah, this is some creepy stuff. And then that's where your jump scare is.
Yes, it is. You're right, Joe. That was, that could easily be a top three for me also. I was going to mention, when you were talking about the camera being another character, I don't know about you, but when
earlier in the movie when that one Kamar-Taj sorcerer sacrifices herself to destroy the Darkhold in their multiverse.
Yeah.
And she's like stuck in the dreamwalk state.
Did you remember that scene where she's like thinking she's holding her kids, but she's not because she got stuck in mid dreamwalk?
Right. Right.
I got confused in a good way. I felt I was like in the movie for a second. I'm like, wait, I'm kind of confused too. Like what Wanda am I? Like she was confused in how they did that. Did you remember that the second time you watched it? Like how wonderful that scene was? That was really good.
Yeah, it's kind of the capper of that scene where she breaks through and she's there with her kids and the kids sing the song and she's like talking to them and she's kneeling down.
The creepy
ice cream song. Right, the weird ice cream song. And she's right.
And she kneels down, yep.
Yeah, and then it flashes and she's in the same pose, but she's Wanda and then she's a witch and then, yeah, I mean... I don't know. That was
it's
like
hard to explain. Like you just have to experience it. That's what I love about movies. He did such a great job of that because I felt confused with her because she got kind of mid, like cut off from that multiverse and suddenly set back. You're like, what happened? Like what went on?
Right. Somebody destroyed the Darkhold and she lost her connection.
Yes. Yes. And you were there with it.
Yeah.
I guess the point is there's a ton of good moments
right.
and scenes in this movie. It's hard for me to pick just three, but definitely, you know, we had a couple of the same vibes in terms of how many.
I saw it twice, and both times when Mr. Fantastic appeared, audience cheered. Both times.
yep.
Good that old Jim good. From The Office.
Oh, man. And he's like, he just transports it.
Dude, that guy, I like him, but he's always just Jim from The Office. I really don't want him to be Mr. Fantastic now that I've seen it.
I don't think they'll bring him back. Like, he's a variant.
There was, like, an online fan poll for, like, and all the fans were screaming for it. And that was, like, the big fan moment, I think, is because there was all of these people online being like, he would be perfect for Mr. Fantastic. And I don't know if that he was.
Right. He was for this movie.
He was. Well, it's almost like he's too, like, caring. He's, like, he seems, like, too nice of a guy to be Reed Richards, who's, like, emotionally distant from everything and everybody.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, in the small scene that he had to try to play the part. But yeah, that's a good point. Maybe he did a more dispassionate, cold person.
Who would be a good Mr. Fantastic?
Oh, I don't really know any modern.
You want to go? Actors. You want to go with an older actor who would be a good Reed Richards variant? You want to go a little older? Michael Emerson from Lost. I'm on a Lost kick tonight. This dude. The dude who is Ben Linus on Lost. That dude. Cold, calculating, manipulative, the end. I don't know.
That's right.
I'm getting ready to watch the last season. I'm rewatching Lost. I'm getting ready to watch the last season again.
Oh, so that's the... Okay.
Yeah. So I'm on a little bit of a kick. So overall, though, I mean, where do you rank this in Marvel movies? Like, give me the movie that it's either directly behind or directly ahead of in your mind.
I think it is... around Winter Soldier land, so I would say like probably top 15 to 18 when I stack rank it. I think it's better than like Iron Man 2 and 3, but not better than Thor Ragnarok, if that makes sense.
Right.
And then it's probably better than Ant-Man 2, but I like the original Ant-Man. And I'm trying to decide if it's... But I don't know. I guess I really like the first Doctor Strange. So I'd put it at, if there are three tiers, Joe, I'd put it in tier two.
Okay. You're giving it, giving it a tier two. It's interesting because until I asked you the question, I hadn't thought of it myself. But now I don't even know what my rankings are of all these Marvel movies. I'm with you.
First of all, I don't know how official these rankings really are.
I'd put it ahead of, behind Iron Man, but ahead of Iron Man 2 and 3, right? Because Iron Man started it all. It's probably ahead of all the Hulk movies for me. It's probably ahead of all the Thor movies except for Thor Ragnarok.
Yep.
And it might be ahead of all the Captain America movies for me.
Mm.
So
I like Civil War, though.
That's true.
Pretty good.
You get Civil War in there as a Captain America movie, I guess. I forgot that.
Somebody asked me if I liked No Way Home or Doctor Strange 2 better. And it's hard because I like Spider-Man so much. So I said No Way Home. What would you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. They're okay. Two really different movies. It's hard
because
this
saying.
Is like, I think one of the things that appealed to me about this one is it breaks so much of the Marvel mold of what you're used to.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I would say Spider-Man No Way Home, definitely.
If But you said if forced, but it's really about genres. Like Spider-Man is like top 40 and yeah. Strange is like alternative.
Right.
Like they're two different genres. I loved them both.
One thing that occurred to me watching this movie, even though it's a dark movie and even though it is a horror film, you get Doctor Strange, who still seems, it occurred to me having seen this and then having just seen the Batman, he still seems like he's a person who enjoys being a sorcerer.
Yes.
Right? And then all of a sudden it occurred to me, I'm like, maybe that's the difference to me between the Marvel movies and the DC movies, is in the Marvel movies, no matter how kind of rough things get, the heroes still seem like they're having a good time being heroes. And Batman never seems like he's having a good time being Batman. It's just like a job. The dude's just punching a clock. I think that's how I feel about the DC movies. They're all just showing up and it's another, even Wonder Woman, it's a job. I got to do this. No one seems like they're having any fun.
Right.
Whereas he even Doctor it. Strange, even in the tough moments, like in the moments where he's like, here's the Scarlet Witch here to destroy Kamertage. And Wong's like, well, if you don't talk to her, he's like, well, thanks, no pressure. But right. He's still, it's not like he's like feeling like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. And this is so tough. And why is this unfair? I got to, you know, whatever. It's not dark and brooding, even though it's a horror movie. Yeah,
like a heavy
movie.
Burden, which it is. And it's like, he just copes with it.
Right. So out of this, you end up with the stinger. Right. You know, it wraps where it is. Scarlet Witch, I'm not convinced that her story's over. It ends in that way where it's like she's gone, but yeah, you didn't see the body.
Right. And there's a theory because the red explosion, did she teleport away? You know, what happened there when she gets crushed? Is it explosion of her magic and she's done? And I think that's all right because I don't know if they truly know.
Right.
And so they left it open to interpretation, which is fine.
They'll put her on the back burner for a while, let somebody else take over. I think it is time. I'm glad that they're sequencing Thor, Love, and Thunder next because it seems like it's time for a fun, lighthearted movie. Like in the way when Avengers Infinity War hit and it's like, ugh, so, hey, here's Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Right.
You know, let's have a little humor to bring you back to that. And, you know, you're going from Moon Knight to Ms. Marvel. So it seems like you're going to get a little break with Marvel and have something a little more lighthearted.
Yep.
Cleanse the palate before it's tough again. But it ends with that amazing third eye. Ah! That was kind of cool. He's just walking
it
down
the street.
Here we come. Walk down the... his head. And I forgot. Because, you know, I saw... Again, you see it in the trailer. Is the Doctor Strange of the third eye. I'm like, oh, it's an evil Doctor Strange of the third eye. And then when I saw it was like him with the third eye, I'm like, so he's just going to have a third eye now all the time. And then I remembered... In the comic books, like Eye of Agamotto wasn't a time stone. He would cast an enchantment and that thing would open up and an eye would come out and tell and like float up onto his head. And he had a third eye in the comics.
Right, right. He did. And they play it out there. I guess it's a symptom of using the Darkhold, though.
In the movies it is. But in the comics.
Yeah. In the comics.
It was the Eye of Agamotto, and it let him see other universes and let him see things people couldn't normally see. Like right. He could see the astral plane, and he could see other dimensions and things like that. So that's kind of cool. And then my favorite, this could have made my number one, was the mid-sequence.
That's right. Clea.
Character reveal of Clea.
Clea Charlize Theron.
Clea was one of my favorites in the comics.
I'm really surprised, Joe, just to interrupt as we're winding down here, that you didn't have the Bruce Campbell scene as one of your top three.
That's a bonus.
It's a bonus.
It's a runner up.
I was a little bit behind the other people in the theater because I'm just used to seeing a younger version of him. So when he's complaining about not paying for it, everybody's laughing. I'm like, what is that? And Jim's like, that's Bruce Campbell. I'm like, oh, okay, I got it.
You got the Bruce Campbell cameo and the car showed up. He's always got that classic car. That's in every movie. That was what, Uncle Ben's car in Spider-Man.
Yep.
So the car shows up too in the dark dimension, the dimension where there's an incursion.
The incursion, yeah, exactly.
And it's just floating there, twisting. But I'll show you this. This is, we're doing a little show and tell. I got this comic a while back. This is Doctor Strange 33. 35 cents. Still.
35 cents.
Only 35
still
cents.
Still, only.
And it's Strange with Clea and evil Doctor Strange is coming out of mirrors.
Nice.
I'm like,
got all the vibes there.
Well, and it is. And this Doctor Strange has multiple arms here. I'm like, you know, they really do a good job of drawing inspiration from the comics. This is not the same outfit Clea's wearing in the, but you can see based on this outfit why she was one of my favorites when I was 16 years old.
Exactly.
That's great. But overall, good. I'm hoping they're setting it up for maybe a Doctor Strange piece. You can see when she uses her mystic knife to cut a hole to the other dimension. That looks like the dark dimension.
Because she's Dormammu's niece.
Yeah.
In the comics.
Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
But yeah, that's, I don't know if she's going to have the same background, but that definitely looked like the dark dimension.
Yeah, because she's there because he's been causing.
Another incursion is going to happen. It's probably going to be Earth 616 and something else is my guess, but
you
never really know.
Were you disappointed that they finally labeled it Earth 616?
No, seem like you are.
We talked about it before, and like official comic canon was that it's not. The MCU is not Earth 616.
Oh, that's right.
It's Earth like 19999.
Yeah, that's right. I thought Kevin Feige came out and said it was 999.
It's Earth 1 like 99999.
But what happened? Now, you're right. I didn't even think about that.
It's the things people have to work themselves through is apparently in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is 19999, Multiverse 838 calls that part 1616.
I'm so confused.
It's still not actually.
I thought they mentioned 616 in Captain Marvel. That's where I got it from. And they're like, no, it's Earth 99999. I'm like, then they just confirmed it in this movie.
They're like, well, in that multiverse, they refer to that thing as 616. That's not how it actually is. That's not really 616. That's just what they call it. But in the comic books, they still call their own one 616 too. That's okay.
It's like, how do you name yourself 883 or whatever it is? Like, what do you call that? I don't know, 883.
Like, why don't you call yourself 882? We're one.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, why are you 883 or whatever? Like, how do you just pick that out of a hat?
I guess so.
We're 883. Dang it.
Randomly, I was hoping we'd be higher. Like, maybe that's like their area code.
Got to represent. Oh man.
Representing the 883.
That was good, Joe. That was good. Good recap. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I do want to go watch it again. So.
All right. Well, maybe we'll catch it when I get back. But I will be back in Omaha. Would love to have you catch up with us again, Mark. Do some recaps of Moon Knight, which ended. Love that. Ms. Marvel is coming up. Should probably talk about that. And then Thor: Love and Thunder will be on us before you know it. So thanks for joining me today, Mark, to talk Doctor Strange and everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Cheers, everyone.
And cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic book you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter, @CasualComicsGuy. At our blog, CasualComicsGuy.com. Or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe. And stay frosty, people.